We turn to the first six that we read together from Ephesians chapter 1. And there we read, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It can be a wonderful thing that a person should be accepted. It gives to that person a sense of belonging. At an early age, the child at school likes to be accepted by others, to be accepted into that circle of friends. And as the child grows older, then that desire to be accepted remains, just to be received into that particular group. And that desire of acceptance, remains to some degree into adulthood. Now, the term to be accepted, it means to be received with approval, or to be received as pleasing, or adequate, or satisfactory. And so it is a normal thing for children and adults to have a desire to be accepted by others. While it is a pleasant thing and a welcome thing to be received by our peers and to be admitted into that particular group or society, our text here is speaking about something that is much more important and much more desirable. It is to be received and accepted by God. And that is what I want to consider this evening just for a little while. It is our acceptance by God. I want to consider some things that we find here in these verses that we read together with regard to our acceptance by God. The first thing I would want to say and need to say is that man by nature is not acceptable to God. By sin, and because of our sin, we have made ourselves to be unacceptable to God. Our ways are not God's ways, and our thoughts are contrary to God's thoughts. We find this right throughout the scripture. We turn back into the book of Jeremiah. I want to read a verse there in the chapter 6. The last verse in the chapter 6. And it reads like this, Jeremiah 6 in the first 30. It reads, "Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them." Reprobate silver hath the Lord called them. Has the men called them, because the Lord hath rejected them. The sinner here in this verse is described as reprobate silver and rejected by the Lord. Reprobate silver. It is dross. It is worthless. It is useless. And while men reject the warnings and the corrections and the rebukes by God, and while men reject the offer of God's mercy and God's salvation in Christ, then they are rejected by God. This word reprobate that is used here, it carries a great depth of meaning. It is unwanted waste material. That's what the term will mean. The word itself is translated by other English words as we read through the Old Testament. For example, it is translated by the word loathed and despised and to abhor or to cast away and to cast off. That is how the term is used. Now, if you have a margin in your Bible or a reference there in your Bible, you will find that the word reprobate is translated there as the word refuse. And that is certainly a meaning and a sense of how the word is used, refuse. The word for the refuse, it is describing leftover rotten food. That is what the term means. I don't know about this part of the country and what the word refuse really means. But when I was growing up down in Uri, we had the milkman came around in his wee milk lorry And at the end, at the back of the milk lorry, he had a couple of large buckets or basins. And he would gather the refuse. My mother would save the waste food that we had, and she would put it into a bucket. And then when the milkman came around, and I'm sure it wouldn't be passed today by the health authorities, he would take that the bucket of refuse, the wasted food, and he would throw it into his crate, into his barrel at the end of the at the back of the lorry, and he used it to feed pigs with. It was useless. It was only fit for feeding pigs with. And that is what the term here means. Man, in his natural state, the sinner, really, in the eyes of God, is refused. He has no acceptance with God. He is rejected by the Lord. He is not worthy in the eyes of the Lord. That's man in his natural state as a sinner. Now, we are, in and by our sinful, depraved nature, so full of everything that displeases God, that his pure and his holy eyes cannot look upon us with pleasure. And so God rejects the sinner and the sinner's efforts. If we turn there to Galatians, the chapter 2, just back a page or two in your Bible, you'll find it in Galatians 2. Let me read the first 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person, for they who seemeth to be something in conference addeth nothing to me. Speaking here of men who think themselves to be something, men who are proud in their heart, is talking here about men who see themselves as something that is worthy, or there is something in them themselves to be proud of. It's talking about men in their self-righteousness. And it tells us that God does not accept them on that basis. So there is no basis of hope for a man who imagines himself to be righteous. There's no basis for a man to be accepted by God on the basis of his good works. God will not accept a man on that basis. When we go back again into the book of Jeremiah, find the same thing as taught to us there in Jeremiah 14, the first 10. Thus saith the Lord unto his people, thus have they loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sin. God does not accept men and women on the basis of anything other than his love and his salvation. Look at the first 12. When they fast, I will not hear their cry, and when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Talking here not only about the sinner, it's talking about the religious sinner. And is talking here about that religious sinner who is not accepted by God. And God tells us that a man will not be accepted on the basis of mere religion. So a religious man will not be accepted by God on the basis of his practice of religion alone. God says they will be consumed. They will be utterly destroyed. They will perish. So let it be emphasized again, in our sinful state, we are not accepted by God, rather in our sinful state, we are rejected. But then we also find the means by which we can be made accepted by God. Note the wording that we have here in the first 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He hath made us. The wording here is specific. It is the work of God. God hath made us accepted. Man cannot do this of himself. It is God who makes a person to be accepted. How does he do it? It is by his grace, we read in that verse. By his grace. This phrase that we have here, by his grace, it is the phrase that is used only in one other part of the New Testament. It's used over in Luke and the chapter 1, the first 28, and there the angel Gabriel, as the messenger of God, he says to Mary, "Thou art highly favored." It is the very same word. It is to find grace. It is to be accepted by God. It is to be highly favored. Here is something that God does for the sinner. He highly favors a man, a sinner, a woman, a sinner, a young person, a sinner, and by his wondrous grace would have them to be put into the family of the Lord. He is made the subject of God's grace. Here is the grace of God that glorifies God, we read there, to the praise of his glory, of the glory of his grace. God saving a sinner glorifies his grace. That he should set his love upon such unpleasing sinners and for his glory's sake put them into Christ for salvation. People, our acceptance is in the Beloved. We read here in these verses. The Beloved is the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember how over in the third chapter of Matthew, we read there in the verse 17 of the Beloved Son of God, when God the Father said, "This is my Beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Lord Jesus Christ is the sinless Son of God. He's the second person of the Trinity, the second person of the Godhead. And our acceptance is to be found in him. Dear unsaved, if such there should be in the meeting, oh, that you might realize this, that if you are out of Christ, you will perish. If you are out of Christ, you will be damned in hell for all eternity. Only in Christ is there safety. We remember the account given in the Old Testament about the cities of refuge there, and how a guilty one who was fleeing, who was found to be in danger and being pursued and would be killed because of the crime that he committed, if that guilty one would make his way to one of those cities, and when he entered into that city, he was safe. The danger was removed. And so Christ is the place of refuge for the sinner. We are accepted in Christ because his work, his atoning work on Calvary, satisfies the justice of God on our behalf. The justice of God plainly declares that the soul that sinneth it shall die, and the wages of sin is death. Eternal death, damnation. That's the wages of sin. That's what sin deserves. But the Lord Jesus Christ is our substitute. He paid the price on our behalf. He paid the penalty of our sin. And thus he turned the wrath of God away from us. He, the sinless substitute, bore our sin in his own body on the tree. And thus he turns the wrath of God away from all who will put their trust in him, those who are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. God sees us in Christ, clothed in his righteousness. That's how God sees the man, the woman, the young person who has come in repentance and in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees us in Christ in his righteousness. Just as we have it in the shorter catechism there, under the question, what is justification? And the answer is given, justification is the act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. We are in Christ. God looks upon us in Christ. We're robed in the precious, spotless righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the way that we are to be accepted in the Beloved. There is no acceptance for the sinner outside of Christ. We must be in Christ. How are we to be received in Christ? The question might well be, who are they that are made acceptable to God by God? They are those who, hearing the call of God in the gospel, repent of their sin, and they come to Christ by faith. That's the promise of God. In John 6, the verse 37, that little verse, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. It may be like a cliche, but if he will not cast you out, then he must receive you. He must accept you in. And that's the promise of the Lord speaking to men and women, speaking to the likes of us who are by nature sinners by grace, are sinners in his sight. And the Lord assures us that if we will come to him in faith, he will not cast us out. He will accept us. He will receive us in. God, in mercy, in love, in grace, he deals with you by showing to you your sin, the vileness of your sin, the guilt of it, the danger you're in because of it. And God opens your heart, opens your understanding, and enables you to see Christ, that in him alone there is deliverance from sin's penalty, that by his blood there is cleansing from sin. And God in his mercy and grace enables you to repent and to trust Christ. And in that way God makes you to be accepted in the Beloved, to be accepted in Christ. Dear unsaved tonight, I say to you again, here is the means and the way of salvation. You must look to the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. See the danger you're in because of your sin, and come as a sinner to Jesus and call upon the Lord for saving, with the promise of God that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have also in these verses here the blessings of being accepted by God. The blessings of being accepted by God. In the third verse we read there, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Oh, the numerous blessings that are found for those who are in Christ. We have, of course, safety from the wrath of God that is due to us because of our sin. Romans 8, the first one, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And we take note again of the phrase, in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for them. Now, those who are out of Christ, we read in John 3 and 18, are condemned already. The man, woman, the young person who is out of Christ lives their life, as it were, with the very sword of God's justice dangling over their head, suspended by the very finest of threads, that at any time that sword would plunge into them and bring them into disaster and into ruin and into great difficulties. Yea, cast them into the very place of hell. But for those that are in Christ, we are no longer under condemnation, but we are redeemed. Look at the verse 7, in whom, that's speaking of Christ, in whom we have redemption. Those who are in Christ have redemption, deliverance from the penalty of sin. Our sins are loosed away. That is what this term redemption means. It's to have our sins to be loosed away, to be put away from us. That same verse tells us we have forgiveness of sins. We have redemption. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins are put away from us. Look at this verse again. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Not only do we have pardon and forgiveness, but we have peace with God in the first two. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Having been reconciled to God by Christ, no longer the enemy of God, at peace with God, reconciled to God. The unsaved man is the enemy of God. The unsaved man is against God. The unsaved man rejects God and rejects the word of God. But oh, when a sinner comes by faith to Christ, he's received by Christ. He's brought into that place of adoption into the family of God, that wondrous blessing of being reconciled to God, no longer the enemy of God, but having peace in his heart before the Lord. And yes, there is adoption into the family of God, as we have just said in the first five there, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Adoption. We are adopted into God's family. What a blessing this is, to be found in the family of God. God does for us in the absolute sense what a good father would want to do for his children. God loves us, provides for us, guides us, yes, and will chastise us like any good father will do for his child. We're in the family of the Lord. What a blessing that is. Oh, how wondrous then that the apostle inspired of God speaks about all the blessings that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have eternal life. We have heaven, our inheritance in Christ. All that a saved person could desire. The fellowship of the saints and fellowship with the Lord himself. Over in Colossians 2, the first 10, we read, "And ye are complete in Christ." The word complete simply means filled to the full. The child of God is filled with such blessings, numerous blessings, so much so that he is filled to the full of the blessings of the Lord. Dear unsaved, this is what you're missing. You have none of these blessings. You don't have pardon and forgiveness. You don't have peace with God. You don't have the blessing of reconciliation unto God. You're not found in the family of God. God is not your father. Rather, the devil is your father. All of these blessings are found in the Lord, so much so that the child of God is filled up with them, while the unsaved has none of them. Empty of the blessings of God. People, all the grace that is needed to sustain us in our service for God, and in every situation, every circumstance we find ourselves in, there is the sufficiency of the grace of God. We are complete in the Lord. Nothing more is required. Nothing of man's notions or man's plots or man's plans are required. We are complete in Christ. God has accepted us into his family and bestowed on us the blessings that belong to his children. And so we say to the unsaved tonight, oh, that you would come to Christ. He calls you. He would say to you, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He can give you rest for your soul. He'll fill you full with the blessings that are found in the Redeemer. Oh, that you might come to Christ tonight in repentance and faith and find an acceptance before God. May the Lord be pleased to apply his word to our hearts tonight, that it might be a word, a saving word to the unsaved, and it might be a word of blessing to those that are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. We'll bow in a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a couple of verses in closing. Our God and our Father, we look to thee. We pray that thou would be pleased, O God, to take the word, that which is of thyself, that thou would apply thy word just as thou dost see the need of every heart. Pray, Lord, that thou would help us in these days to live for thee, to walk with thee, Lord, to be identified with thee, those that are redeemed. And then, Lord, we pray for those that are yet unsaved, that thou would be pleased, O God, in thy mercy and grace, in answer to the cries of thy people, that thou would save the unsaved. Answer prayer to this end, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.